We are returning this morning to the book of Genesis. For those of you that maybe have not been with us very often or during this time since January, we have been looking into the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, and we've kind of been interrupted by a lot of other events and things. The last two Sundays, we've had Penview College Choir, and then our spring art choir concert last Sunday morning. And this morning, we want to come back to the book of Genesis, and we're in the days of Noah. And I've been preaching from the life of Noah and the story of Noah over about three or four prior Sundays, and want to continue this morning. During the time of Noah, and especially today as we look at the time period of the flood itself, 1,656 years between the creation of Adam and Eve and the flood, when we think about the time period, and it's very laid out in the Bible how long people lived during that time and how many generations, and so it's pretty clear from the narrative in the Bible the number of years, 1,656 years. And so we've been looking at that time period. We've been looking especially beginning at the heart of man during this time and how following the sin of Adam and Eve and then of Cain and Abel, and as Cain slew his brother Abel, and then the sin problem became worse and worse, and over the next 1,300 years from that time period continued this downward spiral in the heart of man away from the authority of God. And we studied about that and that impact on the world and how it was filled with evil and violence and the direction that man took away from God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6 says, "The Lord was grieved that he had made man." And so we find in the earliest pages of the Bible this description of the grief of God and the pain of God. And so we talked about specifically the pain of God. In fact, this morning as I moved to the flood story, I kind of wanted to go back and talk again about the pain of God's heart, because I think the pain of God's heart leads us to understand better the circumstances and what God did when the flood came to the earth. We have tried to understand how an infinite God, how his heart can be filled with pain. How can this amazing, marvelous creator, the Bible says his heart was full of pain. How do we understand that about God? Well, so we looked at the pain of God's heart. Then we also looked at the person of God's favor and Noah himself, how Noah, in the midst of that time period where God's heart was filled with pain, go on to that next slide, would you please? God's heart was filled with pain, and yet God found comfort in a man named Noah. The name Noah means comforter. And so somehow Noah was able to comfort the heart of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so we've talked about the pain in God's heart, and we talked about the person of Noah, of God's favor. And then we moved on and talked about the provision of God's mercy and how the ark was a place that God reached out in mercy and grace to bring to save the lives of these seven people that we talked about during this chapter when we looked at an amazing plan of how God orchestrated amazing things, how God brought the animals to the ark and how the ark had enough room for all those animals and all the feed and the time that they were there. It's an incredible story, and there's a lot to think about in the story of Noah. I know I'm quickly summarizing this morning, but there's so many different things for us to focus on the story of Noah. And then this morning, I want to turn to the flood itself, and particularly to another word, the punishment of God's judgment. It's not very often that I preach about God's judgment and God's punishment. In fact, I've been thinking of all the times that I preach a sermon about God's judgment. It's not very often. It's a lot easier to talk about God's mercy and God's grace, and it's probably a lot easier for me as a pastor, and probably in our day it's different than it was 50 years ago in the church, when probably every other sermon was about Sodom and Gomorrah or about the judgment of God, about fire and brimstone, and some of the things that some of you have heard when you were younger, and others maybe have heard people talk about. But we do need to understand that the judgment of God is very real, and that someday God will judge the earth, and God will judge you, and God will judge me. And although we might not think about it very often, the reality of a look at the Bible and the whole spread of the scriptures in the Bible is the attribute of God's justice is just as important as the attribute of God's love. And there's something about God's judgment in the story of Noah's flood that probably grabs your attention as it does mine in trying to understand who God is and how could this infinite, eternal, amazing Creator bring such devastation to the world that He has made. This morning I want to invite you again to hear the story of the flood, and I do want to say some things today about the judgment of God and what it means to us. Reading from Genesis chapter 7, if you want to follow along, I want to read several different places in Genesis chapter 7 and the story of Noah's flood. I'm going to start in verse 1 of chapter 7. It says here, "The Lord then said to Noah, 'Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout all the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made.' And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him." I invite you to go down to verse 11. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heaven were opened, and rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights." And down to verse 17. "For 40 days the floods kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished, birds and livestock and wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark." This may be for some people one of the most important stories in the Bible. For a lot of people who have read the Bible and heard the stories of the Bible, Noah's Ark is a dividing line. It's a place of decision. It's a place of choice. It's a place of wrestling with the reality of who God is, the reality of God's existence, and the reality of a kind of a God who has a kind of a relationship with us, that He would send the flood, the punishment of God's judgment. There are many things that we could focus on about this part of the story. As I said before, there's a lot of things that I've been kind of mulling over in my mind, and this morning I want to talk about a few of those, about God's judgment. I know in this story that I have a lot of questions. There's a lot of things about the flood that you know, I ponder in my mind and I'm curious about, and you know, I just wonder about the geological and the time and the forces and all the things about that. There, I could really go into that and talk about some of the evidence that exists of the great flood and all the myths, the stories from every culture around the world that has a flood narrative. All are evidence that there was a great and a mighty flood. But I don't really want to focus on that part today. Could also focus on the magnitude of the destruction. Every person but seven. Every animal, every bird. I wrestle with the theology of the flood of Noah. And you probably do too. Who is God? The story, we believe, comes right out of the heart of God and the scriptures that are holy and without error. What you have here is what is true about history and true about God and true about you and me. There's some points of this story that, like I said, I find perplexing, if I can use that word. Of all the stories in the Bible, probably this one the most reminds me of the authority of God. The authority of God. Sometimes we think we're pretty big. We're pretty cool. We know almost everything. We control our environment. We control our future. But this story reminds me that there is a God who is supreme. And there's the created things. Whether you like it, whether we want it, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, whether we accept it or not, the truth is He has ultimate authority over everything He's made. We see glimpses of that all around us in this life and in your world and the forces of nature. And I think in the creation that God's given us, He's given us so many things to help to affirm to us the greatness of a Creator. I've talked a lot about the expanse of the stars and deep, deep space and the incredible, unfathomable distances and worlds that are out there. All the way back in the other direction to microbiology, the tiniest engines of life and designs that are so small that the tiniest of microscopes can't even get down to the tiny distances, all within the hand of a creative, powerful, mighty God. We are not God. We can't duplicate, and to a degree, we can't understand the heart of God about some things. I think of what we can see, the forces of nature, the oceans, the wind, natural disasters that we see, hurricanes and tsunamis and earthquakes and all kinds of things that devastate our earth. I think of the fossils, the layers of rocks, life itself, the birth of a baby. All these things cause me to behold a powerful God who is in ultimate control of our world. Yet every one of us are faced with a choice of what do we believe about Him? Do we accept His authority as Creator? Do we come to that place in our lives where we take Him at His word and yes, we believe in who He is, both the judgment side of God and the love side of God, both the side of God that is holy and the side of God that is full of grace? Jesus came full of grace and truth, and to me, Noah's Ark boils down to a question of, do I believe God for who He is? We make the choice of whether we accept Him and believe in His authority and that relationship with Him, and we connect to all those things that we see a God who loves us so much that He reaches out. Or we can have the attitude in our heart that we strive against Him, and we say we don't need Him. We say that we're good on our own. So many people make that decision and that choice in life. They strive against the hand of God until the day they take their last breath and then they enter into eternity. We know that in Noah's day, the humankind had become so rebellious and hateful that God said, I've had enough. And the day of judgment came. Somehow within the heart of an infinite God, somehow, and I don't know how, but He weighs those things. A God that is absolutely holy. A God who has a heart of love. This story soberly reminds me that God is a holy God and He will hold us accountable for how we live. We think about the nature of God, this story and others in the Bible, but this one especially to me it just reinforces the truth that Jesus talked about later, that God will hold every person accountable for their lives. Your life is important to God. How you live it and what you believe and how you treat people and your attitude to authority, your attitude to the authority of God. You may feel like God is awful far away from you and you wonder, does God really care about how I live and my moral choices? The truth is, yes, He does. If you want to read the Bible and hear the story of Noah and other places in the Bible, I don't want anybody to leave this room today without thinking about one more time. Your life is important to God. Your choices are important to God. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And somehow Noah's flood has to do with the desire of the heart of God to connect to you and to me. We can strive against God or we can accept His authority. In Noah's day, people had become so rebellious against God that God said, "I've had enough." And the day of judgment came. He's a holy God, and He will hold us accountable. I think of the scripture that says, "For it is appointed once for a man to die, and after this the judgment." I don't think anybody of us can argue with the first part. We know, even though when we're young, we feel pretty invulnerable, we feel pretty invincible, and we don't think it's ever going to happen to us. But the truth is, every single one of us are marching toward a day when we're going to meet God. We're going to see Him face to face. We're going to step into eternity. We're going to step into something that we can only speculate about now. There's some things about God's judgment in this story that stand out to me. There's some things in this story about God's judgment that to me is just, I feel like I do need to be reminded of. Maybe that part of us that would rather not think about really a God that is wrathful, a God that brings punishment. But the reality is, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, the God who exists around you is a God of judgment too. There's three things especially I notice about the judgment of God in this story. First one is I notice the suddenness of God's judgment. The suddenness of God's judgment. It may not have seemed very sudden to Noah because God had told Noah about it 100 years before. But for the people whose heart were hard and calloused, you notice how sudden the judgment came on them. For those that would not listen, suddenly it began to rain and suddenly the waters rose up. I don't know how long it was before they perished. I couldn't begin to know or guess what that is. But there was a suddenness to the judgment of God, and so many people in our day face the sudden judgment of God because they've turned their hearts away from God for too long. They've known better. But they've said to God, "You can't have authority in my life." You and I know of people who have been taken out into eternity suddenly. Most of us have had a friend or two in high school. A dear family member with cancer. Or an accident. We know that judgment day is coming for all of us, but we don't know when. There's a suddenness about God's judgment that is very sad when we see people that aren't ready to meet God. But I also know about God's judgment that it did not come without warning. It didn't come without warning. In fact, God had preceded His judgment in Noah's day by warning after warning after warning. And all throughout the Bible, you have God bringing judgment, but every time He's warning the people of Israel. He's warning the people to turn back, to repent. John the Baptist, turn back. For 1656 years, God had strived with man. Yet God gave 100 years about for people to turn back. It says in the New Testament, Noah was a preacher of righteousness and he preached to the people to get them to turn back. And there was an opportunity to turn back. And the thing about being here today is you have an opportunity to make choices about your life today. I'm not telling you that because God's going to bring judgment on you tomorrow. He might. But today is the day of opportunity. Today is always the day of the choice to acknowledge the authority of God in your life. Tomorrow is never the right day. Never the right day. Today is always the right day. to get your heart right with God. I noticed in this story, too, something I hadn't thought about before, but God waited for 7 days after Noah entered the ark before he brought the flood. I wondered about that. But there was such a hardness and a stubbornness. When God shut the door of the ark, waited 7 days, nothing changed. And the judgment of God came upon the people. One of the things that strikes me about the story of Noah is how similar the story of Noah is to our day. Where God is waiting. We believe God is calling people to Him. Scripture says, "For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The truth is, the God of heaven right now is patiently calling to every one of us. It is a little bit different than in Noah's day, as we're told the Holy Spirit is here and speaking to hearts today. There's something about the New Testament day that's different than the days of Noah. Maybe you might say we have far more opportunity and blessing than they did in Noah's day, because there's something inside of us that God places there called conscience, and His Spirit speaks to your conscience. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not the angels of heaven, not the Son, but only the Father. Listen to this. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." I don't know when. Of course I don't know when. There's going to be a moment in time that will all change. Just as real as a moment in time when the flood came. Just as real as someday you will take your last breath. Just as real as that moment is, Jesus said it's going to be that way when Jesus comes back. Someday everything around us is going to suddenly change. One of two things are going to happen. Either you're going to pass into eternity, take your last breath and die, join all the others that have. Where God's going to come back, Jesus will come back as described in the Scriptures. There's something else that we see in Noah's flood about God's judgment. And that is that God's judgment is complete and final. It's hard to know what to say about this. Outside of the ark, there's just no hope. Outside of God's mercy, outside of accepting what Jesus did for you on the cross, there's no hope for you in the long term. There's no hope. God's judgment is complete and it's final. Only Noah was left. The magnitude is staggering. And in it we search to understand an infinite and all-powerful God. Verse 23, only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. That's a powerful verse to think about. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. So what do we say about this story today? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? I always feel like when I study the Bible and stories that I read and come across, I think it's important to ask the question, God, what are you saying to me? What practical thing does it have for me? What about the story today? Well, in a sense, we are all living somewhat in the day of Noah. We are all living during the time of making a decision about the authority of God. Yet in our day, God is patient and God is calling to us. We're living in that day where we can respond. We can say yes. We can listen to His heart. We can listen to His love. We can listen to His authority. God does have something to say to us today. His Spirit has something to say to us. Someday soon, God will call every one of us to account for our lives and our choices. Someday, God will call every single person to account. Jesus talked about that several times. And so it's important for you to know today that your life has purpose and is important to God. I want you to know today that your life is very important to God. Would you go on to that slide, please, Nate? Your life is important to God. Your life has value to God. Don't waste it. I want to say to our graduates today, kind of to them especially, but to the rest of us today, you have an opportunity to use your life for good and to respond to the authority of God, or you have an opportunity to waste your life. God loves you so much. He wants you to have a good life. He wants you to be blessed. Don't throw it away. Don't waste it. Acknowledge the authority of God while you can. Make the decisions in your life about who's in charge of your life. And if you do it, you can connect to the heart of a God, to the heart of God who cares and loves you so very much. Don't waste your life. I've had the privilege to be around a lot of need and great young people, as you have too. You've seen people in your lives who've made the most of their lives. You've seen people who've made good decisions with their lives. You've also seen people who have wasted it. I want to say to you as your pastor today, I want to say to you as a person who cares about you, young people, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life going back and forth about who's going to be in charge. Make the decision today. Today is the day of determining who's in charge of your life. I'd like to ask you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to pray as we close our service. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we thank You for Your word and Your truth, and we wrestle with the story of Noah's Ark, and we see in it and realize in it the sobering thought of Your judgment, that part of the nature of God that we might not focus on very much, and we want to think that no matter what we do or how we live, that God is pleased with us. But we know when we look honestly into the Word of God that the Lord God has a way for us to live. The Lord God has a way for us to relate to Him and connect to Him. And it's about the holiness of God. I thank You today for an ark. I thank You today for a place of safety that You provided for Noah and his family, and in that You provide a place of safety for all those who come before You. I'm thankful today for the power of the cross. Thankful today that Jesus gave His life and died for us so that we could be forgiven for our sins and cleansed. And the Bible says that if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I know today that there are a lot of people here, some who are making a decision today. Today will face that decision about who's in charge in their lives. Lord God, I pray that they would call out to You. I pray, God, today that they would say, God, I repent, I turn away from anything that displeases You and breaks Your heart, that creates pain in the heart of God. And Lord, today I turn back to Jesus and say, Jesus, come into my life, and cleanse me and fill me. I pray that today would be a day of salvation. I pray that every person that's here would, in this moment, just now, ask that question and seek God's help and God's Spirit in their lives. I pray that we would not be afraid to say, Jesus, come into my heart and my life just now. There'd be someone that would be here this morning and needs to say that prayer and wants to say that prayer, that they would openly come before You and say, God, I know that You died for my sins. I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask You to forgive me and come into my life. And I know that You will. I pray that each one of us today would not waste our lives, but make the most of it. And be and do what you want us to be, I pray. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the ark. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the opportunity to read in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.